You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Before we get to those phone calls, we're going to hear from the Pro Bowl safety of the Cleveland Browns, Tashawn Gibson. I spoke with him earlier this week, and he had some interesting takes on the Browns defense.
How are you feeling now, a couple weeks back into the flow?
I'm definitely feeling good, back to myself. Just had to get those couple games under my back under my belt, pretty much. You know, after coming from an ankle injury, a lot of people say ankle injuries are a lot more tedious than knee injuries or hamstring injuries. So, you know, just the first couple games, get my feet wet, but, man, I feel good. I'm back to 100% health, and I feel great.
Let's start with last week's game against Cincinnati. A lot of moving parts in that secondary for you guys, given the injuries. Your impressions of playing alongside Ibrahim Campbell.
I think that he's a young guy, studious guy. He understands the game. He's a smart guy, man. He went to Northwestern. So, you know, the mental aspect, you know, he would get. And, you know, for him to bring that physical presence in, which he did, you know, made a couple of good tackles. And, you know, he definitely stepped in Dante's role. And, you know, he had big shoes to fill, but I think that he played well.
What do you see as the key for this defense going forward over the final seven games to get where you guys want to be?
I think that we just got to play together. We got to believe. I think that everybody got to believe in that defensive room. You know, it can't matter what's happening on offense, who's that quarterback, none of the chatter outside of what's going on. Every guy got to own up and do their job. And I think that that's what we're getting away from. You know, the linebackers are worried about the D linemen. The safeties are worried about the linebackers. The cornerbacks is worried about. It's just a lot of moving parts that you got to say, hey, man, you can't worry about the guy next to you. You got to trust that he's going to do his job. And you got to go out there and do your job. I don't think that nobody played a mistake-free game yet in his defense. And when you look at that, you can't win games when each and every guy's on that defense is making mistakes, and sometimes bigger mistakes that's costing big time plays. You know, in this league, especially in this division, going against you know, some of the best teams in the National Football League, you can't make mistakes like that. And I think that we've been shooting ourselves in the foot most of the time. So I think that we just got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, man, we definitely have to do better.
And this is a team that's going to test any defense given the weapons they have with
Absolutely.
Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant.
For sure.
How do you prepare for this game knowing that it looks like Landry Jones, but they left the door ajar, to quote Mike Tomlin, for Ben Roethlisberger? Do you guys have to kind of prepare for both?
Given Big Ben history, you know, he's a competitor. He's, you know, a knee injury that was supposed to take 6 weeks. I think he only missed three games. So, you know, he's a guy that want to be out there. I seen the footage. To say that he'll be playing this week, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but it looked bad. It'll say it's a long stretch. But, you know, I think that moving forward, the quarterback situation, I guess, is up in the air according to them. So you can't pretty much try to game plan on who's the quarterback. You got to pretty much game plan for the scheme and the players that you know are going to play. You know Antonio Brown is going to play. You know what he brings. You know D'Angelo Williams, who stepped in for Le'Veon Bell. You know what he's going to bring. So we got to go and game plan for the guys that we know are going to be out there and the scheme that they're going to play, because no matter who the quarterback is, they got certain plays and certain schemes that they just won't get away from.
What's your goal for this defense over the final seven games of the year?
I think that to surpass what we did last year. I think that in every aspect, to truly surpass what we did last year, I think that at a point last year, we had a dominant defense, you know, and I think that we had high hopes of being one of the best defenses in the National Football League, if not the best. And I think that we've truly slid away from that and got away from that. I feel like if we can get on track like we were last year, and I don't like to compare, you know, teams from the past, you know, different guys, different players. But, you know, I feel like if we could just right that ship, you know, play fundamentally sound defense, and I think that's what we're getting away from. The run defense, you know, as everybody know and can attest to, has been a problem. But it's not even just the run defense. We're giving up big plays on the back end, and we have too good of a skilled players on the back end as well as in the front seven for this defense to be in shambles like that. So I think everybody needs to hit that pause and reset button. In these last seven games, that's a lot of football to be played.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't understand how many games and what can go on in seven games. So I think that the guys in that defense understand what's at stake there. You know, looking at 2-7, that's not ideal, but I've seen crazier things happen in the National Football League. So I think that if we hit the pause and reset button and we go back to playing fundamentally sound football that we know we can play, I think that we have a fighting chance, you know, and to the fat lady sings, as they says, we're going to hold on to all of our hope and we're going to continue to go out there and play good football. And why not get the ball rolling, get a W in Heinz Field, man, and get the ball rolling.
Matt, when you hear him say that the linebackers are worried about the defensive line and the safeties are worried about the linebackers and everybody's worried about somebody else and there's not trust on this defense, what does that say to you as a former player?
I think that they're reeling. And does it really sound all that different from anything that I've said all season long since they've not been able to stop the run and it's been very, you know, cloudy and guys, you know, and that's the way the NFL is. Offenses are good enough. Offensive coordinators' timing and play calling are so on point that they will catch that one guy who gets a little bit nosy in his assignment against the run, or a Johnson Bademosi or a Justin Gilbert. A guy has not yet to the level of a Joe Hayden or a Tremont Williams, and they use some of their technique deficiencies or something that they've seen on film against them to use it and abuse it and take advantage of it time and time again.
All right, before we get to the phone calls, which we'll do after this break, we're going to bring the kid back in here via his telephone. As a kid, always wheeling and dealing, moving and shaking. He joins us now, and we are going to go ahead and pick the games for week number 10. Kid, you there?
I'm here. Are you folks there?
We're here, the kid.
Folk, are you there?
Are you there?
All good. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Miami at Philadelphia, the Eagles 6-point favorites at home.
I'm going to go with Chip Kelly.
I'll take Chip Kelly.
All right, unanimous. We all take the Philadelphia Eagles. New Orleans at the Saints. New Orleans 1-point road favorite.
New Orleans at the Saints?
I mean, New Orleans at the Redskins, pardon me.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with the Redskins.
Thank you,
man.
Who'd you take there, kid?
Washington.
I'll take Drew Brees and the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Saints as well. I don't think they're going to drop two in a row.
Old Mark Ingram.
That they should have won. I think the Saints find a way to get it done on the road. Now, the one thing, Drew Brees has not been a good road quarterback of late. Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay, 11.5-point favorite.
24 in a row. Make it 25.
You calling for the upset, kid?
What's that?
You calling for the upset?
Which game are we talking about now?
The Lions and the Packers. You got to pay attention.
Oh, no. My phone beeped. I couldn't hear you. Okay. I'm taking the pack.
All right. People should know more better than to call you during your business hours of 1 to 3 on Friday.
Sorry.
Jacksonville at Baltimore. Baltimore, 5.5-point favorites.
You know what? I'm going to do it for my man, Cleve T.A. He and I were texting earlier. He likes them with the points, but I'm calling for the outright upset. I'm starting to buy in on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm taking Jacksonville.
It's in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Baltimore.
I had Jacksonville already written down, the kid. How am I going to make up games on you if you're doing stuff like that?
I'll take one from you, kid.
Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee, 5.5-point home dog.
I'm going to go with Carolina here.
Panthers, Riverboat Ron, coach of the year.
Riverboat Ron! Dallas at Tampa, famous J-Moose. Only a 1-point favorite, but a favorite at home against the Dallas Cowboys, who have not won since they've lost Tony Romo.
This is such a tough call, but I'm going to go with one of these weeks Dallas is going to win. I'm going to go with Dallas.
I'll take Tampa.
I'm going Dallas, too. The kid. Chicago at San Luis. The Rams, 7.5-point favorites.
St. Louis.
Gurley.
The St. Louis Gurleys. They're not girly men. Minnesota, Theodore will play at the Raiders. Raiders, 3-point favorites at home.
The Raiders.
I'll take the Vikings.
I'm going to take the Vikings as well there. And Theodore. New England at
New
the
England.
New York Giants.
New England.
They have not beaten. The only team in the
New
National
England.
Football League that New England has not beaten since 2008 is the New York Football Giants. Kansas City at Denver. 5.5-point favorites, the Denver Broncos.
Denver.
Arizona at Seattle. Seattle, a 3-point favorite at home.
Seattle.
I'll take the Cardinals.
I'll take
changing of the guard.
I'm taking the Cardinals as well. The last time they played there, Carson Palmer, he threw 4 interceptions, and Arizona won that game anyway. Of course, this will be the game that Seattle blows up for the kid, because that's just the way that things are rolling for the kid. Houston at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, 10.5-point favorite.
Cincinnati.
All right, Cincinnati. So we're all in agreement there. And finally, the Cleveland Football Browns traveling to Heinz Field, where they're catching 5.5 points from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think it's going to be a little bit closer than the experts indicate, but I'm going to have to say Pittsburgh 24, Cleveland 21.
I'm going to take the Steelers as well. I'm going to say 27-17 Steelers. And Josh McCown does not finish the football game if he does, in fact, start.
Who starts at quarterback for the Steelers?
Landry Jones.
I agree.
All right. They call me Optimismo for a reason, folks. Let's go, Browns! Woo! Landry Jones, take some of that. They're going to call him Laundry Jones. He's going to be so dirty after the Browns sack him 5 times. There we go. All right. That'll do it for the picks. When we come back, we're going back to the phone lines. The Kid, we appreciate your time as always on this Friday, Mon Frere.
All right, fellas. You enjoy, and I'm going to make a deal with my favorite pastor, Myron. We're going to sell his building today.
Many mazels to you, Mon Frere. All right, when we come back, we'll go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850 on this Call Your Shot Friday, the Browns and the Steelers, ESPN 850 WKNR.